Bibles tonight, go to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18. Well, Zachary, I saw your picture in the paper this week. Wasn't police beat either. That's good. You were with Santa Claus. Is that right? You were the first one? Awesome. That way you can tell them what you want first, right? Very good. Great. Well, congratulations, you made the newspaper, all right. Matthew chapter 18, how many of you, speaking of Santa Claus and letting him know wishes and so forth and whatnot, but think about this, not necessarily with Santa Claus, but has anybody ever received maybe a gift that really impacted your life? Some kind of a gift that somebody did something or a gift and you know, it really impacted you. I can think of an event that happened for me. It was actually it was at my high school graduation. They had an award that they gave, and it was in honor of a gentleman that was killed tragically. He'd been married for about a month. And he was delivering things to the paper mills. This is in Maine. And he had a large roll of paper or something that was in his vehicle, or maybe it was several rolls. But anyway, he was in a car accident, and he had been married for right at 30 days, and he was tragically killed. The paper rolls crushed him and so forth. But anyway, they had established a memorial award for him, and out of our graduating class, I think there's like 28 of us, that award, I ended up receiving that. Well, that just meant a tremendous amount to me, that I would receive that, and you know, it was a real honor to get that. And so, you know, sometimes I don't know if you've ever had that happen where somebody has done something for you or given you a gift that was so impressed you and meant so much to you that it, you know, it really affected you, and that you never forget it, that you won't just give up and not remember that. It had an impact on you. And so probably each of us can go and think of something like that. Well, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 18, and I talked with you this morning about the indescribable gift, and that's the gift of salvation. There's no words that can really describe that. I mean, we can do our best to try to describe that, but the indescribable gift of God's grace on our lives changes us. And I want us to see one example of what Christ was talking about. Christ gives a story here in Matthew chapter 18, and he has he's talked with Peter and them about church, and he's talked with them about divisiveness or problems in the church and how they were to settle those things with one another, and he's talked about all of that, church discipline and so forth. But when we go to Matthew chapter 18, I want us to go down and jump down to verse 21, and I want to read this passage to you, and then we're going to talk about it. Then we're going to share some things about the gift of salvation that God has given into our lives and how that affects us, how it should change us, and how it has changed us. All right? Well, let's go to verse number 21, and we'll pick up the story here. The Bible says, "Then Peter came to him said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? How many times do I let this person sin against me and I continue to forgive them? Well, and Peter here, he feels that he's being very generous and very gracious. And he says up to 7 times, you know. So he can offend me, he can hurt me, he can do this to me up to seven times. And I'm obligated to forgive him those 7 times. But then, you know, the 8th time, it's not going to go so well. You know, that's kind of what Peter's asking here. So up to 7 times, you know, and he feels like he's being really generous and gracious and very, very kind to this imaginary person that he's asking Jesus about. Now, verse number 22, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to," wow, look at this, 70 times 7. Basically, Jesus is saying there's no limit on it. 490 times, there's no, in other words, just stop counting, Peter. Don't pay attention to how many times this happens to you. Just stop paying attention to how often you're offended. Don't worry about the counting, how many times someone wrongs you. That's not the important thing. Now look at verse 23. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So here's a king of a kingdom, and he's wanting to settle the accounts with all of his staff, his royal staff and others around him. Verse number 24, the Bible says, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I haven't taken the time to do the math to see how much that is, but it's a lot of money. It was a lot of money, 10,000 talents. And so this gentleman was brought to the king out of prison. He owes the king at least 10,000 talents. And there he is, standing before the king. Now, verse 25 says, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant, therefore, he fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. I'm going to pay it all back. The master says, listen, sell him, sell his wife, his children, sell them, 30 shekels of silver, I believe was the cost of a slave. And so sell him for that, sell this whole family, and whatever comes out of it, that'll settle the account. That'll settle it, and we'll be done. Now, it goes on to verse number 27. And it says, then the master of that servant, he was moved with compassion. The gentleman asks and he says, you know, hey, just give me a chance and I will repay you everything that I owe you. And it says that the master was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt. He forgave him the debt. I remember one time, and I've told you before, it was right about this time of year, we had a dentist bill for one of our children's teeth straightening processes, or whatever you call that, orthodontics, right? And I think it was about $500. And the dentist wrote to us a nice letter and said every year, about this time of year, they would choose families, patients, or whatever, and they would give them a gift. And they wrote off that last $500 that we owed them. And that was a real blessing. That's another gift that we really, really appreciated. And I think about that. But look at verse 28 here. It says, but that servant, he went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. He grabbed him by the neck, by the shirt collar, saying, pay me what you owe. He was demanding. Here he has been forgiven this debt, a tremendous debt. The first thing he does, look at it, the first thing he does is goes and finds somebody that owes him a little bit. And he grabs him by the shirt collar and threatens him and says, you pay me what you owe me. And he's demanding that repayment. Well, the Bible goes on and it says in verse number 29, so his fellow servant, he fell down at his feet and he begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he, look at this, would not. He is stubborn. He is forgetting what has happened to him. He is forgetting what the master did for him, that the master forgave him. And it says, and he would not, but he went and he threw him into prison. He threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. He was hardly owed anything compared to what he owed his master. And yet he grabs this guy by the shirt collar and threatens him and throws him in prison until he gets the debt paid. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, these fellow servants around him, those that were, had watched and seen what his master had done for him, they were very grieved. They were very saddened. They were very disappointed. They were broken over how this man is reacting to one who owes him a little. The one who has been forgiven much, now he's unforgiving and he's greedy and he's selfish and he's hard-hearted. And the people that knew this, the people that were had their eyes on this, listen, people are watching. They're watching how you and I react and how we respond in different circumstances. And it says here that these fellow servants, they were grieved and they came and they told their master all that had been done. Verse 32, then his master, after he had called him, he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt. Because you begged me, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master, he was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that he was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. We call this the parable of the unmerciful servant. He had been given great mercy. Mercy was extended to him beyond belief. And yet he had no mercy in his heart. He had no compassion. He had no generosity. He had no forgiveness in his heart. And he was wanting to collect his debt. This unmerciful servant, he teaches us several things. And I want us to look at those. But there's something that we can learn here even about our sin. Even about the topic or the issue of sin. You see, you and I, in our sin nature, in our chosen sin, we owe a tremendous debt to Almighty God. We owe a tremendous debt for the fact that Christ went to the cross and he paid our sin debt and he paid it in full that we could go free. That we would not have to pay that sin debt because, you know, we could not. We could never repay the sin debt no matter how long we tried or how hard we tried. And so there's some things that we can learn here about our sin debt. First of all, I want us to catch this. First of all, it is out beyond our ability to pay, to repay. It is beyond your ability and my ability to repay our sin debt to the Lord. All we see in the Old Testament, those sacrifices and the blood on the mercy seat and all of those things, you know what they did? They all pointed to the work that was going to be done on the cross. All of those things they did, pointing them to cross, pointing them to Christ, pointing them to the one who could pay. They weren't able to pay, but the one that could. It is beyond your ability, it is beyond my ability to repay my sin debt. It was beyond this man's ability to pay his tremendous debt that he had to his master. He couldn't do it. And he begged for mercy, and his master gave him mercy until he became unmerciful. Look at another thing. It is greater than any offense that we have ever suffered. You see, the sin that we commit against a holy and righteous God who has created us, who loves us, the sins that we commit that offend him, that go against his righteousness, that go against his holiness, we offend the Lord over and over and over again. And when we're unforgiving and when we're unmerciful, wow, there's no way that we could ever forgive or ever be forgiven by our deeds. But the offense that, there's nothing that you and I have ever suffered that is greater than what we've done to the Lord. What we have done to the Lord by nature and by choice is beyond anything that anyone has ever done to you or to me. Maybe you've been seriously hurt or offended by people. Maybe you have seriously been wounded and hurt by friends and family and others. But there is nothing that you or I could ever suffer that is greater than the suffering that we cause to the Lord. He gave his son to go to the cross for our sins. There's no greater offense that anybody could do to you and I. Well, without seeing ourselves as helpless sinners, we must see ourselves as helpless sinners. And look at this. We cannot appreciate God's grace. Unless we see ourselves as helpless sinners, we don't really appreciate God's grace. You see, when we really recognize where we really are, our real standing before the Lord without Christ, without grace, when we really recognize how short we fall of God's holy standard, when we really realize that, then we start to understand God's grace. Until we get to that place where we realize how much we needed His grace and His mercy, then we don't really appreciate it. We don't understand it. Look at another thing here. We cannot truly forgive others as we should. We got to get to the place where we can forgive. You know, once we understand God's grace towards us, then we're able to forgive others what they have done against us. You know, it's sad to me, and it happens quite often, but it's sad to recognize and to realize just how unforgiving sometimes we can be. Sometimes we can really hold some grudges, can't we? Sometimes we can really hold some bitterness. I was visiting someone in the hospital not too long ago, and they're not from the church here, but it broke my heart when they said to me that I'm not telling my kids I'm here. They don't ever come and see me. They don't want anything to do with me unless they want money. That person came right out and told me that. There are many others that feel that way. There's many others that are relationships are broken. Relationships are kind of in shambles. Isn't that sad? That's sad. And when we realize how much God has done for us and what He does for us, how is it that we cannot forgive the offenses that others do against us? We're to be merciful. We're to be forgiving. We're to be the ones that demonstrate grace. Look at the grace that God has demonstrated towards us. And it's a shame that we that have experienced and have so much grace poured out on us that we can be unmerciful, that we can be ungracious, that we can be unkind, that we can be hurtful. And this unmerciful servant, he definitely was doing those things. Look at this, the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God, it's prominent in Scripture. That's what the whole Old Testament, it all points to. All the sacrificial lambs, the sacrificial system, all of these things, they all pointed to the cross, to what God was going to do through His Son. Well, look at this. It creates, if you would, expressions of wonder and praise. When we actually understand and realize how gracious God's been to us, remember this morning Paul was talking there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about how the Corinthians were gracious in their giving, and how that their generosity, what created their generosity? Their generosity was created from the grace of God that was poured out to them. God had been gracious to them, and therefore they were being gracious to these other churches, these other believers, by their offerings, by the things that they were doing. You see, when you really realize that you have experienced grace, then you begin to appreciate it. You begin to be able to step up, and it creates that attitude and that mindset of wonder and praise. You know, you ever stop and think about why in a world Does God love me so much? Why did he do all that he's done for me? Why in the world has God blessed me the way that he has? And just ask yourself, it should create a wonder and praise in our hearts of thankfulness and joy, recognizing all that God does for us. What is the bottom line of God's forgiveness? Well, God has not seen us, or God has seen us, I'm sorry. God has seen us at our worst, and he still loves us. You ever see that? I remember before I was married and before I had my own children, kind of knew exactly what every child needed, right? You know what I mean? You're sitting in the restaurant and some young family's over there. You're young, you have no children, and the kid's under the table and he's on the table and all kinds of crazy stuff's happening. And you're like, boy, I know what I'd do. Then a few years later, you're married and you have your children and you're dealing with all of those things too. And we think, well, boy, we got the answer about that. Or boy, I know, you know. Well, the truth is, you know, when we think about that, you know, wow. God has been so merciful to us. He's been so gracious to us. You know what? Aren't you glad you didn't get what you deserve?
Amen.
Yeah. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in a world of hurt right now. And guess what? God sees us in all of our little misbehavior, and he still loves us. I look back at some of my teachers, and like, how did they even like me? Some days I'm sure they didn't. But when we look and see how God pours out his love to us. Well, listen, God knows everything that we have ever thought. He knows everything we've ever thought or done. You know that? He knows all of your thoughts. He knows all of your actions. He knows all of that. And guess what? He still loves you. Wow. Here's a good one. There are no skeletons in the closet with God. There's no skeletons in the closet with God. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes you hear about these people and they apply for all of a job or something like that, and all of a sudden a skeleton comes falling out of the closet and they don't get the job. Or whatever case, you hear about the things like that happen to people all the time. But you see, with the Lord, there's no skeletons in the closet. God, you're not going to hide anything from God. You might try, but God already knows about it. God knows about all things. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows what's in your heart before you know, you even recognize. Sometimes we don't even recognize our wickedness, but God does. He knows our heart's condition. He knows our thoughts. He knows our deeds. He knows these things. Look at this. God's love. God's love cannot be earned, and therefore it cannot be lost. Isn't that great? You can't earn God's love. And therefore, since you can't earn it, it doesn't depend on you, you can't lose it. That's a wonderful promise. That God loves you no matter what. No matter what you do. No matter where you're at, the Lord loves you. Experiencing his great grace and mercy on us is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Look at this. Christ also, he removes my condemnation. You see, without Christ's mercy, without the cross, without the mercy of God, we'd be condemned. Our kids in my Bible class, John 4:24, I believe it was, they just learned this week. But it says we're condemned already. Why? Because we do not believe in the name of the only Son of God. Wow. That's something. You see, you don't have to do anything to be condemned. Just reject Christ. Don't believe that he's your Savior. Don't believe in him. Open your heart to him. And we're condemned. Look at another thing. Christ considers me innocent. Christ considers you innocent before Almighty God. His blood on the cross has been put over your sins. Your sins have been washed away. They've been wiped clean. When God looks at you now, he sees one of his children. He sees the blood of Christ, his son, poured over your heart. He sees the forgiveness. He sees the work of Christ on the cross all over you. And you are as innocent could be before him. That is a wonderful, wonderful gift to know that when God looks at me, he sees that I'm innocent. Not because of you, but because of what his son did for you. And because you received that indescribable gift. Then also, Christ does this. He declares me righteous. He declares you righteous. He declares me righteous. We are righteous not because of what we have done, but because of Christ and what he did. He declares you righteous. Before a righteous and a holy God, you are declared righteous. Not because of anything you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you. Because of God's mercy and God's grace poured out towards you. How can we then be unforgiving towards others? How can we be bitter? How can we be unforgiving and harbor hatred and bitterness and anger towards people that have done some minor offense, or maybe it's a big offense. They have offended us. They have hurt us. God says, forgive. He's forgiven you. You need to forgive others. Verse 21, I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says, for he made him who knew no sin. That's Christ. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. In Christ, we are declared righteous. What an awesome gift that is. What an awesome gift. That's an indescribable gift that God has given you mercy, forgiveness. I am as acceptable, yes, commendable to the Father as Christ himself was. I have the righteousness of Christ poured over me because of all that Christ has done. God is totally satisfied with me. Because he is totally satisfied with the work of his son. Imagine that. That ought to put a spring in your step. That ought to encourage you to walk with Christ. That ought to encourage you to, hey, you know what? I know they did this or they did that, but you know what? God's forgiven me and I can forgive them. I'm moving on. 1 John 2:2 says this, and he himself is the propitiation, that is the satisfaction. That's a legal term. But he is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Realize that. Christ is the satisfaction. He satisfies the standard of God's holiness. 1 John 4:10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the satisfaction or the propitiation for our sins. Well, if we have admitted and confessed and repented of our sins, then we have been forgiven by God. We have received the most wonderful gift that a person could ever, ever receive. If you have received that gift and I have received that gift, it doesn't matter whether or not you feel like it. It doesn't matter whether you feel a certain way or not. It's not based on feelings. It's based on facts. It's based on Scripture, what Christ has done for you, and the promises of the Bible. And if we have experienced God's forgiveness, it will be shown in our lives how we treat others. It'll be shown in our lives our forgiveness for others as they maybe have hurt us. You see, the mercy of God poured out on you, it enables you, it enables me to forgive others. So as we kind of approach Christmas and we come into the Christmas season, we think about that indescribable gift. There's no way that we can describe the gift that God has poured out on you, poured out on me. And if He's poured that out on you and I, then what's stopping us from sharing that with others? What's stopping us from realizing how much mercy has been shown to us and enabling us and empowering us to show that mercy to others around us? I think it's Ephesians 4:32 that talks about it, that we're to forgive others just as Christ has forgiven us. And so when we're unforgiving, we have to ask ourselves, well, what sin is in my life that I'd be okay with Christ not forgiving me of? What a, you know, that's a terrible question. There's no sin that we do not want to be forgiven of. We want all of our sins forgiven. Therefore, we ought to be forgiving people. We ought to be demonstrating the love of God. Just as God has been merciful to us, we should be merciful to others around us. All right, well, we'll think about that this week and extend mercy and love and grace to those that you come in contact to those around you, okay? All right, well, let's stand if we could, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. And we'll take a few minutes if you'd like to pray. We'll dim the lights. We'll be here in the auditorium and pray. We've got a lot of folks, as I mentioned, that have real health needs. And so if we could lift them up in prayer and pray for our services as we come up to Christmas and so forth. So, Father, as we come before you, Lord, we pray that you'd dismiss us now with your blessings. Lord, watch over us. Lord, give us a great week, Lord, as we serve you. Lord, help us to be merciful, to be kind, to be gracious to others around us. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.